I'm Shobha Narayan. I first heard about Professor Sam Gosling through his book, Snoop, What Your Stuff Says About You. Since then, I have listened to his podcasts, one of which is Scientific American 60 Second Mind, in which he got a whole room of people laughing about the stuff they carry in their handbags, whether you carry stamps or not, for instance. Professor Gosling is a psychologist at the University of Texas in Austin and has done several interesting studies about what he calls the science of snooping, where he goes into people's rooms, he and his research students go into people's rooms to discover what our stuff says about us. One of his research projects was on Facebook profiles, for instance, and he discovered that Facebook profiles reflect rather accurately of who we are rather than who we want to be. I spoke to Professor Gosling via Skype about something that is tangentially related to impression formation.
Yeah.
I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's something we're always doing, whether it's on the basis of an email or a Facebook profile or a website.
Right.
And I think people will search for information wherever they can find it. And there's certainly a lot of information in the online context.
Yes.
Our own research, for example, looking at Facebook profiles, address the question of whether or not people, when they form impressions of others on Facebook, whether those impressions, whether people are projecting themselves in an accurate light or whether they're projecting themselves in a light that sort of is positively inflated. Is it just, you know, are people just promoting themselves? Is it a vehicle of sending some kind of enhanced image, or is it really accurate?
Yes, and I know that your research proves that it is fairly accurate in the openness, particularly.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
And it's not the case that, yeah, people are just trying to, well, they may be trying to create a false impression, but they're not succeeding.
Yes. But what about email, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people...
There's research, you know, especially research done by Jamie Pennebaker, but also others, which looks at how people use language and the impressions you get. And he finds that people do form impressions, but also... But it's quite subtle the way people use language to convey what they're like. So one of the ways that people do this is by not using personal pronouns. And you can see yourself doing it, actually. I found myself doing it now that I've been sensitized to it.
Right.
Is often when you want to distance people, you instead of saying, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you, we say, you know, happy to be taught, happy to talk to you, and things like that. And just avoiding those little personal pronouns
right. Is
the way that people do that. And people, you know, immediately pick up on that.
Yeah.
And it just makes people seem more distant.
Do you think that's because they can't type very fast on their BlackBerries, or do you think it's intentional?
I think it's intentional, because what Jamie Pennebaker, is that people will change depending on who they're talking to. So, you know, I mean, there is an effect, to be fair, there is an effect where people understand that there's a context effect, so that we know that if you are typing, you know, the norms have changed, that we know that, you know, emails and BlackBerries and iPhones and whatever have changed the norms so that people are more brief. But having said that, when people are talking to somebody who is more in a higher in the power hierarchy than them, then their emails, even on a BlackBerry, suddenly aren't so brief and close.
Yeah. They'll do the dear so and so and the whatever best wishes or something.
I was hoping this and yeah.
Okay. Most of our interactions, like just now, what we're talking, we've never met each other, and it's online or through the internet. And how much do you discount for tone? I was reading about this Albert Mehrabian about the 7%.
Hey.
Yeah. And so with email interactions or Facebook interactions and SMS is where my daughter, she types like see you. How much do you discount, or should you say no, don't discount?
I think you do have to discount given the norms of those media. Yeah.
Mm.
I think it does make sense to do that. But it's not all determined by the media. That's the point, is there are norms, but there is some flexibility around those norms.
So what would be the takeaway for a professional? My readers are business professionals, and I'm sure you get many emails, and even with your sensitization, if you're in a hurry, you might type something and send it out. And so is the takeaway that, you know, don't type a reply to an email when you're in a hurry? I mean, what are some things we should pay attention to?
Yeah, the email, the takeaway message is that being in a hurry is itself, writing something in a hurry is itself something that occurs within a dominant sort of hierarchy, saying, I'm too busy right now. I'm going to fire something up. If it was a very important person, you'd make the time, or you'd wait until you had more time. So that's, you know, partially being in a hurry is a bit of an excuse, and how important I am and how valuable my time is relative to you. If you're suddenly, you know, talking to the president or something like that, then I imagine you'd find that time. So whether or not you have time occurs within the context and partially defines a power hierarchy. But having said that, the takeaway message is that people do form impressions of others based on these things. So you form them of others, they form them of you, and things like you, how you feel implicitly about somebody does come through, right, even if we're not, consciously aware of how we're doing it. We do pick those things up.
Right. The one thing that I've been specially mulling over is, I have had a friend who is an investment banker, and he's worked for months on a deal. And then at the boardroom, when things got ugly, he walked out because he didn't like the tone of voice of the other person. And I'm thinking, this happens all the time online. I deal with editors who I've never met. And a lot of time what gets me is the tone. But then the point is, if this banker had discounted the tone and just gone on and negotiated, he would have been better off. So that, hence my question, when you get a message that, as you say, it's written in a hurry, do you take umbrage, or do you say, I just learned to ignore it? What do you do?
Personally, I generally try to focus on the message, but we're all humans. We all have, and it's very hard to escape some of these things. It's very hard not, if somebody attacks you, not to get defensive. If somebody implies that they're too busy for you, not to feel, well, wait a minute, what are you saying to me? Mm-hmm. So, and as you know, all the proper negotiation techniques are try to focus on not being lured into all these sort of like human traps of feeling offended and things like that, of trying to focus on the message. But the reason they do that is it's so hard to resist. Mm. It's so hard to resist. So, like other people, I try to rise above it, but like other people, sometimes it's harder to do at times than others.
What about fan mail, Sam? You probably get a lot of fan mail, and do you respond to? And I ask this because, again, my readers are senior business executives, and I'm assuming admirers would write to them, and the first 10 would be great, and then after that, how do you respond to, some student from rural Rajasthan who writes, "Sir, I love your company, I admire what you do," and it's the 100th time you've got such an email. How do you respond to your fan mail in a way that isn't flippant, or I don't know, what do you do?
I normally send some quick note. It's authentic. I do get a lot of messages and like that. But I normally take the time to respond. Maybe if I had 10 times more, I'd have to think of some other solution. But I don't.
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much for your time and for your nice messages postponing this conversation.
Yeah, not at all. I'm glad we got to chat.
And once I get it up, I'll send you the link.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Professor Sam Gosling of the University of Texas talking about impression formation. See you next week. Bye-bye.